Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to Mouth Shitting, the show where we shit out of our mouths for approximately 30 minutes. I'm Tom. This is Frank. You ready to shit out of your mouth, Tom? Wait, I'm Tom. You ready to shit out of your mouth, Frank?
Andy, what are you doing? You're scaring me. Do you wanna maybe...
What, is this not the right show?
No. Well, I mean...
I thought this is the one where we were just... shit out of our mouths for a while.
You didn't tell me you were going to do this.
Why would I?
I'm very unprepared in this moment in time.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, wrestling fans of all ages. Welcome to another episode of The Supla. I'm Carmen Antonelli, and with me is Sam Brooks, who is now thoroughly confused, so we can properly start this show.
Is that a requirement to do the shows now? I have to be confused?
Yeah, I didn't get to do anything weird last time I was on, so I got to make up for lost time.
Okay. Apparently this is my life now. This is just how things work around here.
Yeah, every show's got to be difficult for you in some way. It's just I got to make mine different from Andy's.
I can't tell which difficulty I prefer. Do I prefer contrasting opinions or do I prefer not knowing where my mind is?
I like that one. I like that one more.
Can we do comments now?
Sure.
Kurt Angle has a black son. That's where we left you off. And many people have many things to say about that, and also many different things.
That's good. Conversation is good.
This is what happens when I get thrown off my game, is that I don't know what to say, ever. So we have a comment here from Void Storm who says, "So right now, Kurt Angle is a real fake dad. What if this were all a fever dream? Would that make him a dream dad?"
I see where he's going with that. Yes, I guess it would. And then he could hang out with all those other characters that I don't know the names of.
Damien.
Sure, I think one is Brian.
Yes.
And Joseph?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I know.
There's more.
So yeah, Kurt's one of those.
Yeah. Let's talk about this, because people were very, I want to say, split down the middle.
Literally
split down the middle at Supla Industries, where it was two thought it was good, and then two old chuckle fucks who don't enjoy anything fun because it has to make sense.
Did Brendan voice an opinion on this at any point?
No.
And I know Keelan never does.
No.
So,
we didn't ask either of them. We're terrible people, really, when you think about it.
I mean, that's one conclusion you could come to, potentially.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
Well... But yeah, Liam and Andy don't like it because it doesn't make sense. But
Kurt had to have
how,
been
though.
20 when he had a child.
No one ever does that. And it would have made more
sense. They were looking
if
at the timeline of Kurt Angle's life. In the same show where undead zombie wizards and firemen happen.
And even then, it's probably one of the more realistic things that could have happened in wrestling.
Illegitimate sons? That never happens.
Especially when the guy in question is a big fucking big boy athlete.
Big boy athlete with his big boy making other big boys like Jason Jordan?
Yeah, now he's got a big boy athlete.
I'm only ever going to call Jason Jordan Big Boy from now on. Jason Big Boy Jordan, with his big boys.
I don't know if I prefer it as like a middle name nickname or like Big Boy Jason Jordan, like put it up front.
It can be anything you want it to be.
I prefer Big Boy Jason Jordan.
Let's talk about where it went.
Sure.
Because it's so far, he had a match on Raw. He beat Court Hawkins.
That's, you know what? Gotta start somewhere.
You gotta face the facts.
And he did. And he beat the facts.
He shoved them down the factual throat.
Yup. And
why does anyone watch this show? I don't know.
Our glimmering personalities.
Glimmering—that's the word.
Yep.
Yeah. So, solid mid-card push. I imagine he'll be on the SummerSlam card. That's probably being optimistic, though.
Now that Finn is done with Elias Samson, I genuinely do think they could do that. Big Boy versus Drifter.
Interesting.
And I do really believe that very soon in Jason Jordan's future is a Miz title shot.
Anything to get rid of Dean.
Please. I love Dean Ambrose. He's possibly my favorite person on the WWE roster. And I have no real problems with The Miz, but they need to stop fighting each other. Now,
here are the things that I like.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Long walks on the beach.
Yes.
The Miz.
Yeah.
And head scratches.
Yeah.
Here are the things that I don't like.
Okay.
The Hype Bros.
Right.
Dean versus Miz.
Okay.
And cucumbers.
Really?
Fucking hate cucumbers.
We'll talk about this another time. But, now
it's
now
been going
thing,
on
yes.
for what feels like since the start of January. Because I know the same week as Wrestle Kingdom, Miz or Dean beat the other one for the title. And it's just been going on, and you had that little Corbin break at WrestleMania with Dean. Yeah, Dean won it, and then fought the Miz, then he fought Corbin. And it's just been Dean and Miz forever on both brands.
Here's a fun fact that really speaks volumes about how WWE books feuds. It feels like Miz and Ambrose have been fighting each other every week for like a year and a half.
Yes.
They have only had 10 televised matches against each other.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And that includes pay-per-views.
Oh, put your dicks on. You're in for a long ride with this one.
That's insane. The way WWE can make something feel so much worse than it is.
And you know what it is now? It's different because he has Bo Axel and Curtis Dallas.
Yeah, and on the other side of the coin, Seth.
Yeah, Seth is there now. They're doing the Shield thing, kind of, but Roman's the big boy in his big yard, facing the other big boys in their big yards, so he's above it all.
Yeah, he's doing dog things.
He's being a good boy up in the main event scene, and you have his two, I want to say better than him, but they're all really on the same level, even though I like Rollins the most. They just feels like Rollins has been wasted for ever since he came back at Extreme Rules. And that's a long time. That's over a year. I've kind of felt like, his WrestleMania match was good against VH, but nothing has really made me think, wow, I love you. And that hurts me. Because I used to think that back in 2015 when he was actually doing stuff. But now it's just like, Seth is just there. Dean is always fighting The Miz. The Miz is good, but ever since Talking Smack got removed from his fucking inventory, he's just been The Miz. And that's fine, but please give him something else to do. Maybe Jason Jordan.
I think Jason Jordan would be awesome.
He would. But as Alex King says, I don't accept Kurt Angle for this. He is a piece of shit. No, but seriously, how is having a black son meant to ruin his career? Racism is very much alive and well in those United States of Americas, and also most other first world countries at the moment. I genuinely believe that might have something to do with a fictional storyline.
When Kurt said this could ruin my career, I don't think he meant the fact that his son was black. I think he meant the fact that it was an illegitimate son.
Maybe.
I think that's more where he was going with that.
Maybe it's the fact that the situation is a thing, rather than the people in the situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense, it's wrestling. Wrestling doesn't make sense. If you try to apply logic, like actual proper logic, to fucking wrestling, you're just not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Case in point, Lehman Andy.
to the people that say Chad Gable would be more believable, they're fucking crazy. Because Chad looks nothing like Kurt. Just nothing at all. Except that he's white.
Yeah, that's it, right? It's just a race thing with that.
Yeah.
Also with that, I guess, is Kurt considered small amongst his contemporaries?
Really. Not really. I mean, even that, like, body types. He looks more like Jason Jordan than Chad Gable.
Jason Jordan has always done the fucking Kurt Angle straps. It's that slow build that he did for years.
I doubt that was intentional, but...
It worked out in our favor, though, trying to justify this shit. So let's just go with
honestly,
it.
Honestly, Jason does actually make more sense than Chad. But
and in a weird way, none of it makes sense, but
yeah, I mean,
it's not meant to.
Yes.
No, Mae Young gave birth to a hand.
I'm just, like, so curious to details. Like, who's the mom? How the fuck did Kurt find out? What was that conversation like when he pulled Jason Jordan aside and said, I'm your dad? Like, that shit. Like, I'm honest to God interested in the reality show aspect of this storyline.
And we might get it, but we might not. Either way,
exactly.
You got Jason Jordan as a single star on Raw. Everything's gonna be fine.
Yeah, he's a good wrestler. Having Kurt in his corner, in a sense, is gonna be good for his career. Like,
this gives Kurt story progression as the general manager, other than I am the general manager, hear me roar. There's more things he can do.
And you can even have heels, especially people like Miz, be like, that's not fair. He's only getting this and that because he's your son. And then Kurt can be like, well, without the Miztourage on your corner, he fucking kicked your ass, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway,
so
one final comment before we move on to the fucking myriad of things we're here to talk about today. Bullet Club versus The Shield said, thoughts on Baron Corbin cashing in at SummerSlam after John Cena beats Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship? Could that give him massive heel heat for beating Cena after Cena achieved the greatest thing in his career? To which Void Storm replies, if anything, you'd probably get a mix of boos and cheers considering a lot of people want Cena nowhere near the title.
That too. I'm going to go more into this with part of our news today. But I don't think that situation's going to happen for a few reasons. But from a booking standpoint, I also don't think it would be the best way for Corbin to cash in. For what Voidstorm said is that it's not really going to be a massive heel moment because half the crowd's going to like it.
And I will also discuss this when we talk about what we're going to talk about, so we might as well do that now.
Let's transition to that right now.
Battleground happened.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Give me 1 second. I need to find, okay. A t-shirt will do for this. Just give me a sec. I'm just going to fold it up real nice. Got it in a neat square here. Okay. Battleground was the worst pay-per-view I have seen this year.
Okay.
Just in general. Including TNA. GFW. Sorry. Slip of the tongue. Including GFW. The one pay-per-view they did. Fucking Slammiversary. Wasn't as bad as Battleground.
Now, I didn't see Battleground. But from
maybe
what
that's
I heard,
for the better.
Yeah. From what I've heard, there were some...
Oh, boy! It was just bad. Just across the... Well, okay.
Pre-show... Let's hit the marquee matches and kind of see what happened.
Okay, so pre-show, Aiden beat Ty. Good for Aiden. Not a bad match. Opening match was the tag team titles. New Day beat Usos in a pretty good match. Wasn't great. Wasn't the best tag match ever. It was good. It was a very good match, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It was. The New Day won the titles. Oh well, the Usos had a good run, we got some good segments, and I like the New Day. I can't really complain about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I would have preferred Usos, but there's nothing really to complain about here.
Not really.
So,
The Usos are not going to be ruined after this. We'll most likely have a rematch at SummerSlam or SmackDown, either way. I think it'll be fine.
We could even maybe do a stipulation there.
Good. But yeah, if you turned off the pay-per-view after that, you would have thought, that was good. I enjoyed this show. If you watched the other 2.5 hours...
Oh boy.
Oh god, where do we begin? Let me just get the card up real quick so I can analyze this point by point.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, last year's Battleground was one of the better pay-per-views of that year.
I'm trying to remember what happened at that one.
The best WWE Zayn vs. Owens match happened. The Shield triple threat happened. The Club versus Cena and Enzo and Cass happened.
Yep.
Just a really solid pay-per-view. And it was, it had the brand split thing as well, so it had like a good story running through it. This had a Punjabi prison in the main event. Let me tell you more about what happened on the undercard, though, because
yes,
it's gonna pain me to say this, right? But
go for it.
Shinsuke Nakamura. I didn't know it was possible for him to have a bad match.
Oh no!
And then he did have a bad match with Baron Corbin.
Now, is this anyone's particular fault, or like, was it just something didn't click?
Well. The play-by-play is as follows. Like, you had just a kind of boring match. Like, it just wasn't entertaining. And these two are capable of putting on a good match, I've seen on SmackDown, but this one, it was like, it was if the Ghostbusters had their fucking sucky machine and they just sucked all the fun out of it. It was awful.
Sucky machine.
Whatever you call it. The vacuum cleaner. I don't know. But, yeah. Basically... The end was a non-finish wherein Corbin just kicks Shinsuke in the dick.
Okay.
So Shinsuke wins by DQ in the worst Nakamura match I've ever seen.
Great.
It was not enjoyable to watch.
Wonderful.
That's the sentence I would use to describe Battleground. It was not enjoyable to watch. Okay. Because after this...
Why else is it not enjoyable?
You had the Fatal 5-Way Elimination Match to determine the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship at SummerSlam.
Oh, I didn't know it was an elimination match.
Yeah, neither did I until the pay-per-view, but it was. You had Natalya, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Tamina, and Lana.
Okay. Who's the first person eliminated?
Where do I start? Let me double check what happened. Okay, so
yeah.
Becky Lynch eliminated Tamina and Lana with submissions to disarm her. After about 8 minutes, they were both eliminated within like 30 seconds of each other. It's further, like, saying, hey, do you like Lana? Too bad.
I mean... So,
that happened.
Yeah.
So you have these three. You have Charlotte, you have Natalya, and you have Becky Lynch.
Okay.
Out of those three,
right.
Who's the worst one?
Natalya.
Natalya won the match.
Yeah.
By rolling them up.
Aw, come on.
Yeah, you gotta love a bit of that classic diva booking where everything is won by a roll-up.
Look,
I don't
man,
love it.
I know...
Oh, boy.
I know WWE fans are getting sick of Becky losing in embarrassing ways, but Natalya's made her tap before. At least, like, have Becky... Have Becky fucking eliminate Charlotte... And then Natalya pulls out the big bad strong girl shit and makes Becky tap out again to win the match. Don't roll them both up.
I wish I had more to say.
That's
the only things that I can really say about all of the women here, Charlotte gets a bad rap. She's actually one of the better women on the roster. Becky Lynch, she's obviously good. Nothing to say there, really. She's good. She's fine. Incredible champion. Tamina bores me. Because Nia Jax exists, and
I like Tamina,
even though Nia Jax is apparently green, I am more entertained by Jax than I have ever been by Tamina, so
yeah.
Having a famous dad won't get you anywhere with me, apparently. Lana, I'm sad. Because what's the point of having Lana
Look,
be a single star, and then have her debut after weeks of vignettes and have everybody mock her as soon as she gets there, or practically bury her? In the not burial sense, right? Just shit on her week in and week out. She has a title match at Money in the Bank. It was okay. It wasn't awful. It was okay. Then you, as you go on, you give her like two more matches, and the last one ends in a squash, and you just make her look like an embarrassment. What's the fucking point in any of that? What was the point? What's the point in building up this woman? She gets a great face pop when she re-debuts, and everyone likes her. I like her. And then all of a sudden, nope. She's just gonna be shat on over the course of several weeks. Not as bad as Bailey, mind, but still pretty bad. I don't get why. What's the point? Why bother putting her there? It's astounding to me.
I have no idea.
Right. It's confusing and frustrating.
Like... Yeah, I feel like she's just gonna spend some time on the roster just being there.
Well, they paired her with Tamina for no reason. Because apparently Tamina just like blondes. She just has a thing for blondes. And being a security guard, because that's all she's ever done, I swear.
It's really bad.
AJ, really bodyguard, team bad for bodyguard. What? Can you not think of anything better for her?
Part of team bad the most, but I really want her to do her own fucking thing for once.
Well, never gonna happen, and Natalia is probably the single most boring woman on that roster. I have never enjoyed her. I get she's a good wrestler, she's from the dungeons, right? She trained with Snape, I understand that. I just don't enjoy her at all. Whenever I see her wrestle, whenever I see her do any promos, whenever I see her do anything, I'm just like...
Yeah, I...
Don't enjoy her at all. She's fighting Naomi, who I'm beginning to sour on a little bit as time goes on, because I'm like, okay, she's not as good as people say she is.
I think she's fine.
She has a good entrance. Like, she made the belt glow in the dark, which is cool. You're never going to lose it in the car park. That's fine. In ring, there are better women. Like Charlotte.
Yes.
Like Becky. Like... I mean, I say there are better, and of course there's always going to be better, but I'm just sad.
I think SummerSlam might be the right time to pull that trigger on Carmella.
There you go. But hey, everyone wants all of the cash-ins to happen at SummerSlam. I think we're only going to get one. You got to drag out a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't want the Corbin one to happen at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
I only want the Carmella one. And I'm usually against... cashing in at SummerSlam because it's a little quick. But
I'd rather that than cashing in on the same night as Money in Bank.
That's worse.
But anyway.
I mean, sometimes you can get away with it, but that's not the point.
I'm falling out of love with women seen on SmackDown. It used to be so good. Now it's like whatever.
Because
man.
The women that were like championing it were, you know, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, it was those two. Mickie James
now,
was there. That was good.
And now Alexa Bliss is on Raw, and Becky Lynch hasn't fucking won a match in how long?
She stands in the ring, and she pretends to drink tea. Good for her.
So I think, I mean, Naomi, I have no issues with her. I just think maybe it's time for a new champion. And I think she beats Natalya at SummerSlam, and Carmella shows up and does her thing. And then moonwalks away in victory.
Remember AJ Styles?
Yeah.
Remember how he's, like, the best, like, wrestler in WWE?
Yeah, probably.
He had a match with Kevin Owens.
Really good wrestler.
Sucked the life out of me.
Now, I keep hearing that this match was fucking terrible.
It wasn't terrible. It was just not correct.
It wasn't right.
What have I said about the previous matches on this card?
Boring.
The last two, women, and then Nakamura and Corbin. Boring, right? So what does Kevin Owens do to get heel heat?
Oh, does he slow the pace down?
He makes the matches boring.
Yeah, oh no.
It's like an abusive relationship.
That's not quite his fault.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming whoever's bright idea it was to put them there. And also make the other two matches soul-crushing. Because this didn't help. And oh my god, the finish. Oh god.
Okay,
so you
I
have AJ Styles beat
terrible...
Kevin Owens at a house show to become United States Champion, and then what happens at Battleground? He loses it. In a weird finish that doesn't make any sense, but they probably decided like 5 minutes before the match ended, whilst the match was happening. Everyone was confused. Everyone says that it wasn't right. Everyone said that it was made on the fly. And they're probably right because it looked awful. And then you have Kevin Owens be United States Champion again. And then we flash forward to SmackDown 2 days later. What happens? He loses it to AJ again.
I have no problem with Kevin winning in a Battleground. My problem is that they gave it right back to AJ the next SmackDown. What the fuck, was the point.
Why not just have Kevin not lose it at a house show, retain over Styles at Battleground, and then have Styles win on the SmackDown? What's wrong with that?
Not even that. Why not? You do what you did with the house show. AJ's the new champion. Battleground, he fucking retains. And then Kevin gets all mad. You do a SmackDown title match. He retains again. What's wrong with that?
Everything, apparently, says Road Dogg.
I have no issue with AJ Styles as United States champion. I know on the Battleground pre-show, I said I want Kevin to win it back because I like Kevin as United States champion. But I like AJ as United States champion, too. My fucking issue with this back-and-forth shit is that I hate back-and-forth shit. Remember Charlotte and Sasha Banks? That sucked. What was the point?
Even if the wrestlers are good, it doesn't mean the program is going to be good because you keep hot potatoing the belt because you want to make it shocking or surprising, or as I like to call it, frustrating.
Exactly. So what was this finish? I keep hearing about how bad it was.
They trade submission holds. AJ puts Kevin in the crossface. Kevin rolls Styles over onto his back so his shoulders are pinned, and he kind of pins him.
Why did that confuse people?
Because it's just weird. It's just, you have to kind of see it to realize how strange it is, because it just didn't, like, fit with the flow of the match. Kind of came out of nowhere, and it ended after, like, 17 minutes. So it kind of, it just felt weird. I mean, the ref counted weird. It looked like no one knew what was happening at any point. It just looked really weird. It looked like a dream you would have about this match happening, you know? And it was just slow and boring, and it made me want to die. So, naturally, you have the flag match after this.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Oh my god! You know how John Cena's a great wrestler? He is a great wrestler, though. Like, actually, objectively, he is an entertaining wrestler.
He's not bad, but I don't know if I would use the word great. He's had too many bad matches to say great.
We're gonna add this one to that list, then.
Yeah? Who thought a flag match was a good idea?
Who knows what a flag match is?
No one.
Nobody! Except for the people that make the decision on the day as to what it is. Because apparently, the last time we had a flag match, you just... I don't even know! What does normally happen?
Last flag match before this one was, again, Rusev and Jack Swagger. And the rules was just, get the flag down from the pole. That's it.
And then that's it. But no, this one, you have to... get it off the pole that's in the ring. Then you have to go down the ramp, across the arena, and then plant it at the stage, atop some stairs.
That's stupid.
Whenever they got a flag and whenever they moved down to the arena stage, it felt like the heaviest thing you would ever carry in your entire life. It's a flag.
It's just a flag.
It's just a flag. John... you have big arms. Carry it like a normal person. No, don't slow down when you're going across the ramp and you make it feel like I'm receding into myself.
I mean, was it meant to be like a I'm tired thing?
Yeah, except it made it look like the flag was made of dark matter. And then John Cena wins because lol America...
Now, I said, I don't know if you watched the Battleground pre-show, but I said, because Liam pointed out this was in Philadelphia, which is
America's,
like America's
hometown because of the Liberty Bell with Professor Liam Dunn, who did American Studies.
Well, also, it's where the Declaration of Independence was signed and all that. But
all that shit. Yep. The hometown of America. Wouldn't it be funny if America lost in its hometown? Yep.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently, they don't give a fuck.
Because that's not how it works.
Why? What was the... It's just like what you were saying about Lana. And it's funny, because these two are in a relationship.
Yeah.
What was the point of bringing Rusev to SmackDown and then teasing his debut because he wants a shot at the WWE Championship, and then he finally shows up and he loses?
Because they put Jinder and Randy Orton inside a bamboo prison and they kind of forgot, hey, isn't John Cena meant to be returning, and then there's like 2 months before SummerSlam? What's he gonna do? Let's do the American thing again. Do we have any foreigners lying around that we can use? Oh yeah, Rusev. That's the origin of this. And it sucks. Right? But anyway, that match was bad. The other match before that was bad. The other match before that was bad. What's the match after this?
I don't know.
It's bad! Because Sami Zayn and Mike Kanellis have
that
match.
What? This was bad?
It wasn't anything, really. It felt like a pre-show match. Just put in there so people can go use the toilet before they can not watch the Punjabi prison.
Oh.
And Zayn just beat Mike clean.
Okay.
After some shenanigans with Maria in the finish, but Zayn wins anyway.
Alright.
So the main event.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You, for some reason, defended Mahal versus Orton at Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. And I still don't.
I feel like it's one of the worst matches I've seen this year, but that's my opinion. Can you honestly defend this match?
Now, I've been defending Jinder as a wrestler. I've been defending Jinder as a champion. And I still do.
And I get that, because that's subjective. That's entirely subjective. You're allowed to support who you want to support. Just because you disagree doesn't mean you're wrong, Liam.
Right.
But
bringing back him, of all people, is one of the stupidest things I have ever heard.
Let's run it down. Punjabi prison. You can't see inside it.
Yeah, too.
Very well. So that was awful. I remember saying a couple of weeks back, like, oh, hey, maybe the Punjabi prison is the bad part. Maybe the matches inside it were good. I don't know how I came to that conclusion. I don't know how I was able to watch those matches. They must have made the hole smaller this time round. Because maybe. They just look like unidentifiable blobs in there, just rolling around.
Because when they did
around.
Punjabi prison matches before, like during Kali's run with the match type,
you've had two Punjabi prisons. You had one which was Undertaker versus Big Show, and then you had the other one which was Kali versus Batista. Show versus Undertaker was bad. Batista versus Kali had one great spot where Batista hopped the cage walls. That was the good part of that match, and that's the part I'll always defend. This also had one really good spot that I will defend. Because you had the bullshit with Orton, like, trying to get through the timed doors, which just seems unnecessarily complicated. Orton RKO's Jinder, Singh Twins, Singh 1 and Singh 2 somehow got inside the cage, even though it's meant to prevent interference. There were many, many interferences in this match, because... So they pull an unconscious Jinder's body through the last door as it closes, so then Randy has to climb through the first bit of a cage, so they're both on the inside of a cage, and then the Singh twins are just constantly messing with him, because that's just what happens in these matches all the time, forever. And then one good thing that happened in this match was that one of the Singhs was on the outside of a cage, and Orton just kind of like punched him off, and then he fell through a table. That was a great spot. That was really cool. People are going to remember that about this match forever, okay? It's like the Batista wall jumping spot. It's just going to be a good part of this match that was overwhelmingly bad anyway. So You have Jinder just, I think he's dead in the middle, and then you have Orton attempting to climb out to win the match and escape, but who should come out but Chinnigan himself, the great Kali. I'm not racist when I say this, but fuck India. I don't even care anymore. If your expansion into this country is what's causing all of this, fuck that country. I don't care anymore. It's made me hate SmackDown. I didn't think that was possible at the start of the year. We had Elimination Chamber, that was awesome. That was one of the best pay-per-views we've had this year. And now, you have the great Kali waddling out, doing the weird walk with his arms because he doesn't know how to walk properly, and he climbs a little bit, chokes the snake, and then Jinder just gets out because apparently it's incapable of winning a match without some kind of interference. And I get it, he's a heel, but please, fuck off. Just stop it, just go away. I'm sick of it now. I passed the point of no return with my patience. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of this entire thing, because for the longest time, we've been seeing Randy Orton in the title picture since the Rumble. And it's been an awful year for Randy Orton. He's been having bad matches. He's been having bad feuds. Remember that time when he got pinned by a fridge? That was a higher point than this, right? And then you have the payoff of all of that bollocks be Randy Orton versus the great Kali at SummerSlam. Are you pinching my dick?
No.
Fuck this, no. Right? It was awful. It was bad.
I can't defend this match.
No. Can you defend the finish?
No. So yeah, Battleground sucked. Hopefully, whatever happens at SummerSlam with Jinder is better than this.
Going on to SmackDown to discuss that comment that was left. We had John Cena come out and interrupt Jinder and say that Super Cena is going to kill him and get his 17th world title. And inside I screamed like a little girl because I've wanted this for months now. But Daniel Bryan learned from his mistakes that happened at the Rumble. And he said, even John Cena has to earn opportunities around here. So now, we're getting John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh, I felt weird to say. John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura, the winner faces Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam for the world title.
There's a great image going around, which is that. And the caption of "Try to explain this to a time traveler from 2014."
Try explaining it to me now.
I fucking hardly explain it now. So
here's what I want to happen. Here's what I think is going to happen by the letter. Shinsuke wins that match. Shinsuke goes into SummerSlam, wins the title. Corbin cashes in on Shinsuke. Heel heat on Corbin. Continues that little story they're doing. Bada bing, bada boom. Jinder's out. Cena's out. Cena is probably going to fight for the United States Championship with AJ Styles. That'd be fine. Cena always loses at SummerSlam anyway, so it wouldn't make much sense for Corbin to cash in on Jinder, who just won, if you want to get heat on Corbin. The only way you
unless
can
you
conceivably get heat on Corbin out of this fucking possibility, because they want to build him as a heel, bearing in mind, they want to do that, they've been doing that for the longest time, it wouldn't make any sense for him to just randomly become a good guy. If you want him to get proper heat, you have him beat Shinsuke, who everybody loves. So
I mean, they're doing a feud anyway.
Hey, what if that happens?
That would be really cool.
Because the alternative is John Cena getting his 17th world title, and everyone will be split down the middle, and then Corbin comes out, and everyone will be split down the middle the opposite way.
Now, I do think there is a third alternative here. I think there is the chance...
Carmella cashes in and becomes world champion?
Yeah, that's actually exactly what I was going to say. And, okay, cool. And James Ellsworth.
James Ellsworth versus Jinder Mahal, King of the Jobbers versus the Jobber Incarnate.
Yep. No, I think it is possible that John Cena beats Shinsuke, becomes number one contender, and just doesn't fucking win the match at SummerSlam. I think that is a real possibility. As of out of those three options, what do I think is actually going to happen, though?
Yeah, there might not even be a cash-in. But if there was going to be a cash-in, that's how I would book it. If there's no cash-in, I mean, there's also
the possibility that Shinsuke is number one contender and Jinder just beats Shinsuke, but that's a lot less likely than any of the other three.
I don't want to live in a world where Jinder Mahal can beat Shinsuke Nakamura. If that happens, I'm literally just stopping. I have better things to do with my life than cry myself to sleep every night because Jinder fucking Mahal can now suddenly beat Shinsuke Nakamura. Even if it's dirty and the Seek and Destroy stable comes out and just murders Shinsuke instead. I don't want to live in that world, Carmine. And I know keep saying Jinder needs to prove himself as a champion by having a feud with someone other than Randy Orton, but when you're putting him against people like John Cena or Shinsuke Nakamura, really, I think it's best if you just take the belt off Jinder, have him prove himself before winning a world title, not whilst he has a world title, and then, if he's good and people just don't care anymore, put him in the world title picture again. I just don't want him to have it anymore, because it makes me sad. It just makes me sad, and I don't know what to do about it.
You know what I really want?
Candy?
Yeah, I'm gonna get some candy. No, I always kind of thought, you know, after Orton, and assuming that this Cena reality we live in wasn't gonna happen, a good opponent for Jinder would have been AJ Styles. But
yep.
AJ Styles is busy with the United States Championship now.
Yep.
So what I think could happen in the world of wrestling is Jinder is no longer WWE Champion by the end of SummerSlam, whether that be because of Shinsuke, Cena, or Corbin. And then maybe, just maybe, Jinder moves down a level and faces AJ Styles for the United States Championship. And maybe fucking wins. I don't know. You can decide that part later. But I want that feud to happen. I think it could really do wonders for Jinder and gives AJ something to do that isn't Owens. As for what Owens does, Jericho's back now, so you can do that some more. And then Corbin and Shinsuke fight for the WWE Championship and everyone will fucking love it because hopefully they'll have a better match for that than they did on that Battleground. And maybe John Cena moves around. But yeah, that's what I want.
What's this? We're getting a telegram from my fax machine. Look at this. I'm just pulling it out here. I've got it in my hand, you see? I've got it. Oh god, it's stuck. It's stuck. It's stuck in the machine. What do I do?
What does the part that you can read say?
It's just nothing. I think the letters are on the other bit of the paper if I, like, reach my hand into the machine. Superstar Shake Up 2, Volume 2. They might be doing a second Superstar Shake-Up after SummerSlam.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think John Cena's going to win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. I think he's going to Raw.
Did you forget that John Cena is a free agent? Yes, you did.
Are you aiming that question at me?
Yes.
Well, I think
he could go anyway. He doesn't get drafted. He's a free agent.
I think they're going to draft this free agent.
It's not how it works. So
that actually is in every other sport.
But not this fictional sport where free agents go
willy-nilly.
The rules
change every day? I think it's totally possible.
Oh my god, why are they doing a second one?
Here's the thing. That's really soon.
Why did they do the first one? Why did they not just wait to do a draft now?
Because they wanted to capitalize.
They needed that House of Horrors match to happen, even though you move one of them to the other brand. I hated the first Superstar Shake-Up. It ruined everything. It did. You put Dean and Miz onto Raw, so that's gone from SmackDown. You put Bray Wyatt onto Raw whilst he's in the middle of the program with Randy Orton.
That was weird, yeah.
And then who went to SmackDown?
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Kevin Owens has a polarizing gimmick that some people like, some people don't, as opposed to when he was on Raw, when people just liked him. Zayn
is
having a nothing
gonna...
feud with Mike.
Yeah.
Nothing good came out of that first shakeup.
Rusev,
and now... Sorry. Something good did come out of that Superstar shakeup the first time, and that's the Titus brand.
Yes.
What does it say when the good thing that comes out of the Superstar shakeup is the Titus brand?
It means you should do another one.
But why not just do a draft? Why not just
What's
wait?
Doing another one?
Why not? Why is it that the draft happened last year? It's been 1 year. And now we could be getting two mini drafts several months apart from each other. Why?
Now, what if... Because this is just a rumor right now, right?
It's speculation.
Right. What if, in the crazy world that is WWE, where plans change every fucking day, this just does become a full-on draft? Would that be better?
No, because they should have just done that instead of a Superstar Shake-Up. Like, you can't... You gotta... If you're gonna do two Superstar Shake-Ups in place of a regular draft, I guess you have to do that, because you've already shot yourself in the foot by doing one and trading about half the amount of Superstars you did the first time. So now you gotta do the second half. Who do we want to see go places? I want Big Cass on SmackDown. And I want Randy Orton on Raw. I want Finn Balor on SmackDown. Here's a thing. Reports saying that they might be sending down someone from the main roster back to NXT.
Wow. Oh, God.
See you later, Bo Dallas.
Maybe. Well, now with the Miztourage, he might be fine.
Yeah. Basically, things could be changing after SummerSlam again. There's a lot of things to process about this. Who should go where? What should happen in terms of storyline? And I think we're running low on time in this show, so maybe.
So, yeah.
If you want to talk about it, put it in the comments below. I will personally respond to some of them, because I'm interested in this story. I didn't think we'd talk about Battleground for so long, so sorry I have to do this, but we're doing this now. So you can leave a comment below. What did you think of Battleground? Was it shit to you? Do you feel dead inside now as well, like me and possibly him? Then good, you can join the Dead Inside Club. Leave a comment below and let us know. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. The Supler, search for name and you'll find us. It's in the description for you. We have a Patreon. Are things still happening with that?
Yeah, I mean, if people donate, then they get things.
Wonderful. So you'll be getting things if you do that. You can get reaction videos, you can get Snapchat access, you can get early access to Off the Air, you can get a theme song, you can get a lot of cool shit. City Hall is disbanding this week. That's it. Say fini. La-di-da.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here, instead of them. So, yeah. The next time you see them, it might be different. It will be different. Of course it will be different. They're moving. Yes. It'll be different, and then hopefully schedule will be as normal then. What's the next Brawl event?
The Brawl event is going to be Big Strong Boy Fight.
And that'll come out soon.
A couple weeks, I'd say. A
couple weeks. And when are we going live next?
We are going live next for... Supla Slam.
Supla Slam.
Yeah, so...
In about 4 weeks. So, I got plenty of time to think of an episode.
So that'll be fun.
That will be fun. Hopefully. I think that's all of the plugs, unless I've forgotten anything.
I don't think so. Brocast on iTunes?
Brocast on iTunes when that happens.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes we brocast, and sometimes we don't.
We never know which one it is until it either happens or doesn't.
Ding. So what is the name of the show now? The talk Shit Eat Show?
Yeah, Talk Shit Eat Show.
Forgot what he said at the start. What was that?
The
Eat Shit In Our Mouths.
Mouth Shitting.
Okay. I have been Andy Kwan.
And I have been... Keelan Boulderson.
And we will see you next time, where we eat more shit.
It's not eating shit, we shit out of our mouths. Nothing?
No. Do it with our lives.